Well, we turn again this evening to the chapter that we read together, 1 Peter chapter 1, and that is page 1222, 1222, and we're going to consider verse 19, 1 Peter 1, verse 19. Forasmuch as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily that is most assuredly was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Now the subject before us this evening is the precious blood of Christ. The precious blood of Christ. And when we speak about the precious blood of Christ, we're taken our minds to Calvary. And there on Calvary's cross, the Son of God made man, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave his life, shedding his blood, suffering, bleeding and dying upon that cross in the place of sinners, those that put their trust in him, ordained unto eternal life, those that understand their state before God, that they need a Saviour, that they need to be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And to such people, the blood of Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ, the value of the blood of Jesus Christ is precious. The precious blood of Christ. Now, this evening, we will be considering these verses in a devotional manner for our encouragement. And we'll see, I trust this evening, how important, how vital is the precious blood of Jesus Christ to true Christian faith. It's one of the essentials. It's one of the fundamentals. The first thing we can see about the precious blood of Christ in the blessings that it brings is what we call the blessing of redemption. That means the Lord's people, those that trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, have been redeemed, bought, rescued from the condemnation of the law of God, in all its purity, condemns us because we've broken it. And yet the precious blood of Christ redeems us from the condemnation of the law. And this is the most blessed redemption and freedom from all. Sometimes we find we've been delivered from a very difficult situation in our life and we feel a sense of liberty. Oh, we've got through that problem, that trial, that difficulty. But there's nothing like this redemption. The blessed redemption of being delivered from the condemnation of the law. Forgiven in Christ Jesus. You see, if we remain this evening under the condemnation of the law, if we do not trust in Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood shed for sinners, it means we are still under the condemnation of the law. We're still guilty before God. And it means we remained enslaved in our sins. We are children of wrath just as the others. But redemption, rescuing from the condemning power, condemnation of the law, means we are freed from its condemning power. Now, when the children of Israel camped at the bottom of Mount Sinai, the Lord descended by fire from heaven, and the whole mountain was covered in smoke. And we read in Scripture that it quaked greatly. And it was a terrifying time for the children of Israel at the bottom of the mountain. And it was a time when the Lord reminded the children of Israel of his holiness in giving the law. The law is pure. It's immovable. It's just. It's the revelation of God's commands. It's unalterable. And it stands and withstands all evil and sin and compromise because it's the touchstone standard of God. Many things change in life. Many standards change. Come and go. Standards that were held 50 years ago are no longer held in this day and age in which we live. But God's law remains the same. And before it, we stand condemned in and of ourselves as sinners. And only the precious blood of Jesus Christ can redeem us from the condemnation of God's law. Because Christ, we read, is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes in him. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. As the hymn writer said, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. And this redemption is not just for time, friends. It's for eternity. It's an eternal redemption. The Word of God tells us that we're not redeemed by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own precious blood, Jesus Christ, the one who entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Eternal redemption. That means never ending. And this is a great song in heaven. We want to know what is being sung in heaven now, what rejoices the saints and angels in heaven even as we speak. Oh, it is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And one of the songs we are told is that they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, speaking about Jesus, and hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. This is the praise in heaven, the precious blood of Christ. Its redeeming power, not just for time, whereby we are rescued from the condemnation of the law, from the slavery of Satan, but for all eternity, we're Christ's free people. But then, secondly, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, it brings the blessing of atonement. In God's wisdom, there is only one way in which our sins can be atoned for, and that is by the blood of his Son. It is by the power of the blood of Christ that sinners are redeemed from the wrath of God to the peace of God. The atonement is made by the precious blood of Christ. And our greatest need this evening, wherever we are, is to be one with God. It is to be reconciled. No longer under the condemnation of the law, no longer under the slavery of Satan, but under grace. And no longer under God's frown, but under his smile. Now, to enable this transformation to happen in our lives, this transforming miracle to take place, God sent forth his Son to be a propitiation, the atonement for our sins, that we, unworthy, wretched sinners, born in sin and shapen in iniquity, might be forgiven and know atonement. And this wonderful blessing comes to us freely through the one and only way that is found at Calvary, Christ crucified, his precious shed blood on Calvary's cross. It is then Christ crucified that sinners glory in. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory except in our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is where our first love is. A crucified Saviour. This is where our great comfort is. This is where our refuge is this evening. This is where our security is this evening. I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free. Sing, O sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. The blessing of atonement. But then thirdly, the precious blood of Jesus Christ brings the blessing of cleansing. Sin has made us totally unclean within. It has stained us. Our whole being is affected. It has ruined us. And you know how clothes can be ruined by stains and paint and grease, and how difficult it is to remove its mark. But how much more about sin within us? It's a plague, it's terrible, it's a virus that cannot be cured by human means. But there is a way. There is a cleansing power, friends, this evening. It's the precious blood of Christ. And wherever we are coming from this evening, whatever secret sin that is that you're harboring in your life, it can be dealt with, friends. The precious blood of Christ is powerful enough to cleanse you from all sin. The blessing of cleansing. Oh, many times we are encouraged by God's word in the cleansing power of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The psalmist wrote, looking forward to by faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Before Christ even came upon this earth, the psalmist was already looking forward to this time with anticipation. And he stated, who forgives all your iniquities? All your iniquities. And the Apostle John said, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And the Lord, speaking through the prophet Isaiah, said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What is one of the favorite songs in heaven? We have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. How else can you and I stand before such a holy, awesome, all-seeing God unless we are cleansed in Christ Jesus through the precious blood of the Lamb? How else can we make a wonderful entrance and be accepted into heaven but through the blood of Jesus Christ? Well, this precious blood of Jesus Christ not only brings to us the blessing of cleansing, but also the blessing of security. Now, when the Lord sent his judgment upon the land of Egypt, there was only one sign for preservation. Only one sign. Only one way to be preserved from the judgment of God. There had been so much evil going on in Egypt, and they had been so cruel with the children of Israel that God had come to rescue them. And there was only one sign for preservation, even for the children of Israel, against the judgment of God on that awesome night. And that was the blood of the Passover lamb. God instructed Moses, who instructed the children of Israel, that they must sacrifice a lamb for their household, and the blood of that lamb must be pasted upon the doorposts, and the people must stay inside their properties, and only those properties marked with blood would the judgment of God pass over. The security was in the blood. The people, secure inside the properties marked with blood, were no better in a way than their Egyptian neighbors. Probably many of the properties of the working communities of Egypt and Israelites were similar in style. Maybe there were lots of houses looking similar. Maybe there had been a bit of intermingling going on. And the only difference was the blood of the lamb on the doorposts. That's what made the difference. And that was put by faith, obeying the word of God. God said, that preservation for your family will be under the blood of the lamb. And under the blood of the lamb there was security. But only under the blood. Our only security and preservation from the judgment of the Lord is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And the Lord said at that time, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Notice the words carefully. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. What a comfort this is to us this evening. Our faith is sometimes dim. We don't see the blood as much as we would by faith. And our faith becomes weak sometimes. And we have a very, perhaps even shallow grasp of this wonderful truth and concept. And we don't see Jesus as we should. And we become overwhelmed and start to sink with our difficulties. But the truth of it is, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. It is God that sees the blood. It's God that sees you in Christ Jesus. If you put your trust in Him and you believe in Him and you put your trust in the finished work of Calvary's cross, God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That is, I will not bring judgment upon you. It is God seeing you in Christ Jesus. That's where the security is. It's all in Christ. Our security is not in our hold of Christ. Our security is in His hold of us. And the security is that God, who is wise and all-knowing, and knows that even in a feeble way we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, He sees the blood and says, I will pass over you. Sometimes we cannot see the significance and blessing of the blood of Jesus Christ clearly enough. But our security then is not in our faith's glimpse of the blood, but God seeing the precious blood of Christ and passing over us. Ultimately, our security is not in the strength of our faith, but in the wisdom and faithfulness of God, abiding by the promise of His word to us in Christ Jesus. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And we know that the Lord clearly linked this Passover feast to the institution of the Lord's Supper. This Passover that was instituted there on that terrible night of deliverance from Egypt, when God judged that nation in such an awesome way, and the only protection was under the precious blood of this Lamb. Hundreds of years, thousands of years later, the Lord Jesus Christ linked this Passover feast to the institution of the Lord's Supper. Communion and its fulfillment at Calvary's cross. And Jesus said, for this is the blood of the New Testament, my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. That's what it pointed to. It pointed to Calvary all those hundreds of years before in Egypt. It was a pointer to Calvary, to the Lord Jesus Christ, the precious blood of Christ. Oh, sit down under the shadow of the cross with great delight by faith. Be comforted this evening in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. For the precious blood of Jesus Christ not only preserves us from judgment, not only forgives us, not only cleanses us, it secures us for all eternity. But then, what of the blessing of the pleading power of the precious blood of Jesus Christ? The Word of God says that the blood of Christ speaks better things than that of Abel. That's a very interesting expression. And if we go back in the history, Abel was the person that was murdered by his brother Cain. Abel's blood pleaded and prevailed before the Lord. Its cry was vengeance. And Cain was punished. That was the plea of Abel's blood. Vengeance. Because of the way he murdered his brother. So why does the Word of God say that the blood of Jesus Christ speaks better things than that of Abel? Abel's blood spoke of judgment. But Jesus' precious blood doesn't speak of vengeance, it speaks of grace. It speaks of God's love. It speaks of God's forgiveness. It speaks of God's peace. Oh, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ was upon the cross, He said, Father, forgive them. It speaks of forgiveness. Oh, that's why it speaks better things than that of Abel. It speaks of God's love. It speaks of God's mercy. It speaks of God's grace. It speaks of God's peace. Oh, the blessing of its pleading power. And now, at the Father's right hand in glory, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know the evidence of Calvary is upon his glorified body. There at the Father's right hand is the evidence of Calvary. His wounded side is there. His hand pierced, his pierced hands and pierced feet. It's there in glory, in his glorified body, at the Father's right hand. What a pleading power for us this evening. The pleading power, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, never underestimate the significance of the precious blood of Christ. The hymn writer said, "What sacred fountain yonder springs up from the throne of God, and all new covenant blessings brings. 'Tis Jesus' precious blood. What mighty sum paid all my debt when I a bondman stood, and has my soul at freedom set? 'Tis Jesus' precious blood. What stream is that which sweeps away my sins just like a flood, nor let one guilty blemish stay? 'Tis Jesus' precious blood. What voice is that which speaks for me in heaven's high court above, and from the curse has set me free? 'Tis Jesus' precious blood. What theme shall best my tongue harp employ, my harp before my God, and make all heaven to ring with joy? 'Tis Jesus' precious blood." The hymn writer got it. He understood the value of the precious blood of Christ. But then, what about the wonderful effects of the precious blood of Jesus Christ? The effect on the soul. Often, Christians marvel, not in a positive manner, but sorrowfully about the hardness of their hearts. We can come and go, we can hear the gospel, we can hear about Calvary, and sometimes we wonder, how can we sit and listen and just remain unmoved? And here is one of the best medicines for a stony heart. The hymn writer said, "Law and terrors do but harden all the while they work alone." You know, the law of God, it stands there, and it's straight, and we've broken it. But a sense of blood-bought pardon soon dissolves a heart of stone. When we look to Jesus Christ, and we see what he's done, that we might be forgiven and cleansed. Oh, while the law must be preached as a warning, it was never meant to soften hearts. It is the love of God to sinners through the shed precious blood of Jesus Christ, which is designed to soften the heart, to encourage us to come just as we are. And when we consider that the Son of God should take upon himself a body just like ours and suffer and bleed and die for you. He loved you even when you were enemies, the Word of God says. Oh, come to Christ with a broken, softened heart. But if you can't come this evening with a broken, softened heart, and you don't have a broken, softened heart, then still come to Christ that he might give you one. Whatever state you are in and condition you are in this evening, you need to come to Christ. He is the one that has the answer. Whatever the state of your heart, come to Christ that you might come under the blessing of his precious blood. Oh, then there's the blessing of its sanctifying influence, its cleansing influence. We read in God's word that Christ sanctified the people by his own precious blood. The same blood which justifies and atones and gains us acceptance and peace with God goes on to influence the new nature. It helps to subdue indwelling sin, helps us to follow in loving, appreciative obedience of the commands of the Lord. It has an effect upon our lives, not only just to separate us as God's people, but to work in our lives. And so Spurgeon said, there is no motive for holiness as great as that which streams from the veins of the Lord Jesus. And the word of God says that we might live unto ourselves, but unto him that died and rose again. But then what about the blessing of the access that the precious blood of Christ brings to us? In the Old Testament times, when the high priest entered into the holy place, he could only do so with a sacrifice, with the blood of that sacrifice. And so for us, we can never get near to the heart of God. We can never get near to the heart of God without the precious blood of Christ. It's through him we have access with boldness unto this grace wherein we stand. If we want to get near to the heart of God, do we want to get close unto God this evening, to know fellowship with God, then it is through the precious blood of Christ. C.H. Spurgeon said, if you attempt to have fellowship with God in your own graces and experiences and your believing, you will fall. But if you come near to God as you stand in Christ and in Christ alone, then God will receive you as he sees you in the face of Christ, his anointed one. There is no getting near to God except as we first get near to the cross. And the precious blood has the power to give you nearness to God. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. How? How are we going to enter into the holiest? How are we going to have communion with God? Through the blood of Jesus. That's what the word tells us. Now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off in sin are now made near. How? The word of God says, by the blood of Christ. And then just two more points as we come to conclusion. The precious blood of Jesus Christ, the blessing of its confirming power. The precious blood of Jesus Christ is described as the blood of the everlasting covenant. It is the sealing power of God's covenant with needy sinners. Without the precious blood of Jesus Christ sealing that covenant, there would be no power in it to bless or save. So it is the precious blood of the everlasting covenant, the everlasting promise of God to sinners who trust in Jesus Christ. And it is this which provides the strong consolation for those who have fled for refuge in Christ Jesus. But finally, the blessing of its overcoming power. The precious blood of Christ, its overcoming power. And here we come to the ultimate victory of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It is written in the book of Revelation that the Lord's people have overcome. They've overcome sin. They've overcome Satan through the blood of the Lamb. They've overcome temptation and unbelief and fear and persecution and trial and affliction and that great enemy death by the blood of the Lamb. Through the blood of the Lamb, they have washed their robes. The precious blood of Christ avails for sinners gloriously, powerfully, eternally, graciously, mercifully. The precious blood of Christ. The hymn writer said, thinking about the precious blood of Christ, now freed from sin, I walk at large, the Saviour's blood my full discharge, at his dear feet my soul shall stay, a sinner saved and homage pay. Is the precious blood of Christ precious to you? The word of God speaks of it as the precious blood of Christ. If it isn't, ask God to make it precious to you. Ask God to make the precious blood of Christ the most needful thing in your life. to reconcile you with God, to make you right with God, and it's free. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't go to Calvary's cross and shed his precious blood and then ask you to pay yourselves and to earn it through your works and through your efforts. It's free. It's free to sinners as we come just as we are and put our trust in the suffering and death of the Lord Jesus Christ and understand in our hearts and minds the value of the blood of Christ, the need of the blood of Christ, the preciousness of the blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He's pure, you see. Its value is also in the purity of Christ. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God.